your eyes and mine. It's the best He's got. He's given you the best He's got, and He can't handle the whole world. He has nothing for the indigent. He has nothing for the poor. He doesn't care about them. He has countries like China killing babies. That's His policy. Vote for me, and people do. And that's what's going on in China. We have third world countries where you have dictators who receive food and aid and take it and not give it to the people it was sent for. You have all kinds of mess in this world because the devil can't handle it. He wants to be God, and he never could fill those shoes because he's not. He's not God. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. And he's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything, can't be everywhere, and can't do everything. He is a mighty foe to you and me. We're no match for him, but he's no match for King Jesus or his angels when God lets loose the angels to take care of him. Now, verse 4 says this. It says, "And I saw thrones." Now, we have a little confusion here by some commentators. It says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them." And the word "they," who's he talking about? You know, you should be able to find an antecedent here. What's the "they" referring to? I don't think it's all that complicated, because we were back in chapter 18. Let your eye go back there for a moment. Flip back to chapter 18. And in chapter 18 and verse 4, the Bible says this, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye be not receive of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you." Tribulation saints, come out of Babylon the Great. They've been out there hiding in the dens and in the caves. They've been running for their lives. They've watched their loved ones be slain. And he says, come out, and he says, judge her. Judge the world system. So when it says back in chapter 20 and verse 4, "I saw thrones and they sat upon them," I believe that's the antecedent to the "they." These are human beings, not glorified human beings, but redeemed saints who came out of the tribulation and are now told that they are to judge the great harlot, to judge the Babylonian political system, and do so double what she had given them. Verse 4 goes on to say, "And they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." Another reason why I believe it's those people is because of who else joins them here in a minute. And it says, "And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus." I used to read that and think, beheaded? People are going to be beheading people? Yeah, they are, aren't they? And I think the Antichrist is going to pick that old piece of startling intimidation up from the Muslim world. And he's going to incorporate it into his system, trying to get everybody to take the mark and worship his image and worship him personally. He's going to pick it back. Man, nothing more startling than seeing a head roll. That's just a freaky kind of thing. It's one thing to see a person hanging on a gallows downtown, but to have a head cut off. And the Bible says, it implies there's a bunch of them. "I saw the souls of those who were beheaded." Now that might be people that you loved. That might be your mom or your dad if they're not saved. That might be your kids who said, "I'm not taking that mark." And you had to say from the sidelines, "Huh, son, just a little over on yonder side, you'll be okay." I've heard stories of guys drowning out there in the ocean, and they're just paddling and paddling and paddling, and it's like no hope in sight. And suddenly the one boy looks at his dad, "Dad, I can't do it anymore." And they had their little last few minutes of talk, and suddenly the boy goes down for the last time. But both of them had him in the assurance that he was saved. Beloved, don't you want that assurance? You want the assurance that your kids are saved? Do you really want them to go into eternity without a wedding garment? The Bible says in this passage, "He saw the souls of them that were beheaded." And they were beheaded for two things: for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God. By the way, the Word of God is still there when it's all coming down. Amen? I don't care how many translations you put out there. And by the way, there's a lot of translations, and there's only two of them that use the majority text, and that's the King James and the New King James. All of the rest of them have two manuscripts, one of which is very, very sparse, and they knit the two. My Bible tells me, let everything be established at the mouth of two or three witnesses. So God already told me I'm not supposed to trust them. They don't even have two from that earliest, quote, earliest. But the Bible says the Word of God is what they had faith in. and they were beheaded because they took God at His word. And what was God saying? God was saying, don't take the mark, because whoever takes the mark will be cast into the lake of fire and will be burning for eternity, having no rest day or night. The smoke of their torment will ascend up forever and ever. Whoever takes that mark, they believe that I'm not taking that mark. Well, you're either going to take that mark or we're going to cut your head off. I'm not taking that mark. And people will be kind of corralled and herded to guillotines probably throughout the world. Special places where in public display people are going to be killed for their faith. The Bible says they wouldn't take His mark neither in their hands nor their foreheads. By the way, that's another time it says hands and foreheads. The monetary system is failing, folks, all around us. It's a hop, skip, and a jump today to where they get they start saying, well, you know, we have so much fraud, credit fraud, we're going to get rid of credit cards and money altogether. We're just going to give you a number. We're going to put it on your hand or your forehead. You won't see it. Infrared, whatever, a chip under the skin, whatever. It'll be a hop, skip, and a jump, and we are there. You know, when I was a kid, they didn't have computers that you could do that with. This has been like a mushroom cloud here. We have got so much capability. Chips are getting smaller. You've seen perhaps a commercial on TV where they were going to introduce a new, I think it was an Apple chip or something. They dropped it. It's like everybody in the room's down looking for it. It's so small. Crazy stuff. But that little chip can do so much. And that gives the devil, boy, he's got unlimited possibilities seemingly. And the devil has the possibility now of doing what God called in 90 AD. First century. Nobody can buy or sell unless they have the mark. The Bible says the hand or forehead is where it's going to go. And it goes on to say, and they lived. And that's important. I saw the souls, and they lived. And they lived and reigned, the Bible says, with Christ 1,000 years. There again, what I'm saying is, we're looking at what the Bible calls in the next verse. The rest of the dead did not live again for 1,000 years. We're finished. This is the first resurrection. Not to be confused with the rapture. The rapture, the Bible says, is when Jesus comes and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are in Christ alive and remaining at that time will be caught up together with Christ in the air. And we will ever be with the Lord. That's when He comes for His bride. But here what we have is the resurrection. And what we see specifically set before us here, because the reign and the millennial reign is in view, is we see the martyred saints resurrected. Now, I personally believe, because they're reigning and they're coupled with they that sat upon the thrones, that they're going to be resurrected in the same fashion that Lazarus was resurrected. They're going to get up and be all restored, because Jesus can do that. It's what He does. He is the giver of life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he what? Live. I mean, that's power, folks. And the Bible says in this passage that the first resurrection is going to entail people sitting on thrones. We connect that with 18:4 in that parenthesis. And what we see then is He's going to raise up the martyred dead, and they're going to live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Don't only compare this to Lazarus, but also compare it with Jesus. When He rose from the dead, the Bible tells us that at that very time, when Jesus rose from the dead, that also there were graves open in the city, and that there were seen many of the elders who had fallen asleep and had died, they were walking around in the city. We got one verse on that. But you know, the Scripture tells us there was an offering of a first fruits. This was a first fruits. You know, when they did their cycle of feasts in the Old Testament, they had the Feast of Trumpets. By the way, the Rosh Hashanah is just in 2 weeks. We're going to have our get-together next week, but if we're not here for the 2 weeks from then when we have our video, any of y'all who are listening or still here because the trumpet sounds, you know, all this stuff happening on feast days. Jesus rose from the dead, right? What happened? He rose from the dead, first fruits, a little handshake of here's what I promise. 50 days later, Pentecost. What happened then? 2 wave loaves and Gentiles were offered because the church was born. When He died, it was Passover. When He was born, it was probably Tabernacles. And Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of the Trumpets, is right around the corner. 17th, I believe, of this month. Wouldn't it be cool? Get it all done. Let's get it in the books. Can I get an amen? Let's get it in the books. Let's get it done. Because He who will come shall come, and I want to be with Him, don't you? The Bible says in this passage that He's going to raise those people up, and they're going to live and reign with Him for 1,000 years. Now, who better to do that? Who better to run the world than tribulation saints? I mean, they've seen what the alternative is. Left to itself, it's going to spiral out of control to the point where guillotines are going to be set up from town to town. People will gather at the town square for the bloodlust to be fulfilled. By the way, all the good people are gone. It's not all the Christian families going down to see people get beheaded. No, it's going to be all the bloodlust people, all the anarchists, all the people who have been told, you can kill any one of you fine, and we won't hold you accountable for that. We'll look the other way. Open season on anybody not taking the mark. We've seen that in this book. That's what's coming. And it will satisfy. Just like Rome found out back in the day that the Colosseums and the casting to the lions of Christians and the lighting of the streets with pitch and oil dipped Christians as lampposts satisfied the bloodlust of the masses, so it will be in the day when the Christians are catapulted out of here and when the Antichrist ascends to his peak of his authority. Verse 5 says that the rest of the dead live not. Now that means that there are some others that ain't going to be raised right now. They're the wicked dead. We're going to talk about them in a moment. But right here what we see is the rest of the dead live not again until those years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now we're not told too much about when the spirit of just men made perfect. Okay, Old Testament saints are resurrected. We're not told that. Very well could be right here. I think it probably is. But I don't have verse and chapter on all of the Old Testament saints being resurrected. I do know this, that the Bible says David's going to be there in the kingdom and he's going to be reigning in Jerusalem, right? The Bible says that in Jeremiah 30, verse 9. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Isn't that cool? He's going to raise up David. So perhaps at this point, when the armies have come back, you're going to have different types of a variegated congregation. You're going to have angels in that army of the Lord as he rides through the sky on a white horse. Perhaps you're going to have the spirit of just men made perfect riding there without being in their glorified state and not being embodied, but their souls are going to come. Well, we know we're going to be there because there's going to be a group of them there clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So we see us there. But it's going to be armies we saw last week, not army. Just good stuff. Man, this is... You know, I can't exhaust this. I can't. It's just going to get better and better. The Word of God. Awesome stuff. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. And they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. See, that's 6 times he says 1,000 years. At the verse 7 is the 6th one. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed. Now, folks, what we've seen is we've seen the reign of Christ. We've seen the resurrection of the dead. Now, first resurrection. We're going to see the second part of that in a moment. But verse 7 says that Satan is loose. Now, what we have in verses 7 down to verse 10 is what I believe, and for some of you who like to study this stuff, a lot of questions have been kind of set out there about whether chapter 38 and 39 of Ezekiel are here. Well, here's my take on that, and you can write it down and go read it later and think and see if it doesn't fit. I believe chapter 38 of Ezekiel actually is right here in front of us. I think it's where the devil gets all the people. Thoughts are going to come into their mind. And they're going to think they're going to take unwalled cities because it's going to be a time of peace. Jerusalem's going to have unwalled cities and so forth. But I believe chapter 39 is actually before chapter 38 in the chronology of things unfolding. Because it is in chapter 39 where he's going to call the birds to eat the flesh. Some people have taken the two and put them as one unit. I think they're different. I think you need to juxtapose them and you'll see them chronologically. And I think it makes more sense. That's just my take. I didn't read that anywhere. And I won't die on that hill, but I think it makes sense. If you read it, I think it works. The Bible says in verse 8, the devil will go forth and deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. Why just Gog and Magog? Well, because he's only got a little time, first of all. He's got to have a center where he's going to start again. You know, he's got to have a center, and it's going to be north of Israel. And if you read chapter 38, you'll find it says Gog, Magog, and then it starts naming Put and Gomer and a number of other nations that are going to join him. So the rallying point, the headquarters, as it were, I believe, is going to be up around where Russia is geographically. And they're going to come as the sand of the sea. Look what it says in verse 8. It says, shall go out to deceive them, and which are in the four quarters of the earth, and Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and number the number of them who is the sand of the sea. This is saying that at the end of the millennium, a perfect righteous reign. Everything good. There's still going to be people as the sand of the sea saying, I won't have it. Give me a bow. Give me a sword. We're going in. Man, there's no way. Look at all these people. They're all woohoo, and they're all excited about going against Jesus. Come on. That tells me that during the righteous reign of Jesus, there's not going to be a whole lot of crime. There might be some. We saw, as I quoted a moment ago, of Isaiah, a child shall die at 100, and anyone dying at 100 will be deemed accursed. He's going to deal with people decisively. There will be judgment when somebody steps out of line. They're still going to be sinners. They're just not going to have the devil, and they're not going to have the world. We have three problems, though, don't we? The world, the flesh, and the devil. That's what we got to fight every day. We got the world. You go out there. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Look at your billboard, scantily clad girls, internet, it's out there. We see, as it were, the music.